So the Tanner crab fishery just closed recently. Could you give me the lowdown on when it opened and kind of give me the big picture?
Sure, sure. So this this season can start as early as January 15th. We do have a weather delay provision that means that we have to have two days in a row with no gale warnings before the fishery can open. So it's sort of a fair start provision that lets lets big boats and small boats start together. We did have 3 days of weather delay. We opened both the east side and the southwest at noon on the 18th, and they both ran about 4 days. So the east side closed at noon on the 22nd, and the west side closed at 5:59 p.m. on the 22nd. So they both opened on the 18th, and they both closed on the 22nd, about four and a half days. That's what we were expecting preseason. We were, you know, given the participation we were anticipating and the harvest level, we were expecting it to run, I think, 3 to 5 days is what we'd been advertising. Of course, it was it's hard to tell without knowing what the participation is going to be, but that's what we're looking at, and that's where we ended up. So we were pretty pleased with that. For participation, we ended up with 43 vessels on the east side and 12 in southwest, for a total of 55. That's a bit higher than we've seen in previous seasons with comparable GHLs. I think that has to do with cod fishing being slow and just general enthusiasm for Tanner crab fishing, given that we haven't had a season in 4 years.
I had heard there were some stragglers, some people still out there.
We did have a few people that were doing partial offloads and doing catcher-seller type fish tickets, so we were waiting for a few small landings to come in, but we've got those now, so we're pretty well set. Our numbers will maybe change a little bit, but we ended up at 272,000 on the east side. We were targeting 260, and we ended up at 150,000 for southwest. We were targeting 140, so a little over, but pretty close.
And if we could talk about the nature of the fishery for just a little bit, is it derby style?
Right. So this is not a rationalized fishery. It's a, I guess what you'd call derby style, where all the vessels go and compete with each other until it's over. We had 43 boats on the east side. Where the harvest ended up, it looked like we had about a 6,000-pound average landing. 6,000 pounds per boat, and the catch per unit effort, that's our metric of fisheries performance. It's the number of legal crab per pot. That turned out to be 22 on the east side, which is in line with what we were expecting. We were hoping to keep it above 20, and we did. Southwest, there were fewer vessels, so we had a average landing that was about 12,500, and we had a higher CPUE, was 37 in southwest.
Could you tell me a little bit about how the vessel owners and the fishermen keep you guys updated on how much catch they're getting at the end of the day?
Right. So we do call outs every evening. In this fishery, you can only lift your gear from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening. So after 6 p.m., everyone's done fishing for the day. So then we call all the vessels on the radio and ask for a report for the day, and all we're looking for is the location where you are, how many pots you lifted, and how many legal crab you retained. And that's voluntary reporting, and we got excellent reporting out of the fleet. I commend the fleet on that. Even though it's voluntary, we had reporting over 90%. So that was great. That's super helpful for us. That's all we have for management. We closed this fast enough that we didn't see any landings prior to the closure, so we closed entirely on reports from the fleet, and the reports in general were accurate, and as you can see from the numbers, helped us get pretty close, so it was a big help.
What happens if a fisherman doesn't call in his catch?
It's voluntary, like I said, so there's no repercussions. In general, we take an average of vessels that did report and give them the average, something like that.
And you were talking a little bit about how you estimate the catch, if necessary.
Right. So if we don't have, you know, if we have a few vessels that aren't able to report because of problems with their radio or because they're in a place where they don't have good reception or whatever, we'll take an average for that day from vessels that did report, and we'll apply that to vessels that didn't report. So that when you've got 43 vessels, that works pretty well because you've got reports from vessels that aren't doing very well. You've got reports from vessels that are doing really well, and the average ends up working pretty well. And like I said, we were getting better than 90% reporting, so we weren't actually doing that much estimation. So it worked out pretty well.
And so for whatever reason, if people don't get an estimate into you, managers may go more conservative.
Right. So that is usually how I pitch that to the fleet preseason as sort of an incentive to report. Reporting does nothing but help the fleet. The more reporting I get, the more comfortable I feel about where we're at. So the more comfortable I am offering, you know, additional fishing time. If we, just for example, if we were in a situation where we only had 30% of the vessels reporting, that's a lot of uncertainty. You know, making estimations for 70% of the fleet is a lot of uncertainty, and our first reaction is to assume that they're doing well, and that means that we could possibly close earlier just to make sure that we don't go over by a lot. So, right, the less we know, the more conservative we tend to be. In a situation like this where we had really, really good reporting, we feel pretty comfortable about where we're at, and we're able to offer the maximum amount of fishing time to get us you know, really close to the GHL, which is what happened this year.
So I was talking to a fisherman before he set off just recently, and he said, best case scenario, we'll get 100 crab per pot. Can you give me a sense of how many crab the vessels can fit in?
That CPUE I was talking about earlier, that's probably what that fisherman was referencing. So the number of legal crab per pot is really what's of interest to fishermen, and it's really what's interest to the department as well for management. We roughly know how many boats there are, and we know roughly how many times a day the gear gets pulled. If there's 20 pots, 40 is typical, going through the gear twice, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. So we have a pretty good handle on that. But what's really variable is the CPUE, so it's catch per unit effort. So that's number of legal crab per pot. The gentleman that you just described saying best case is 100, that's certainly true. 100 would be phenomenal fishing, especially an average of 100 where you were keeping the average up. We saw CPUE on the east side of 22 for the whole season, and in southwest it was 37. Certainly we had reports of, you know, if you have an average of 37, that means there are pots in there that have 100 crab in them. So there were boats that got into occasionally really good pots, possibly over 100, but there are also vessels in the fleet that were, you know, in single-digit territory, and you take the average, and like I said, we ended up at 37 for southwest and 22 on the east side for CPUE.
Do you have any idea of what's in store for the next time the Tanner Crab season might be happening?
So based on our survey, we can see that this pulse of crab, this cohort that we're fishing on is a big cohort that we first saw in 2013. They take about 5 years to get legal, so that's this year. So we just saw the front part of that cohort becoming legal this year. We communicated to the fleet preseason that we were expecting to see a lot of measuring. That means that while some of these crab in this group are legal, a lot of them are not legal, which means you have to do a lot of measuring to make sure that you're only taking the legal crab. That turned out to be the case for most people. We had reports in the fleet that they were, in fact, doing a lot of measuring and that they were seeing lots and lots of crab in the pots that were just sublegal. That is a good sign for next year, meaning that if we've got a lot of crab in the water that are just sublegal, next year some of those will be legal, and they may contribute to a fishery next year. Signs from last year's survey and from this year's fishery are looking favorable for that to happen, but every year's fishery is based solely on the preceding survey. So we'll do a survey this summer starting in June, so June through September, and the results of that survey are what will decide whether we have a fishery next year or not.